This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate. It's The Drive, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise.
Great stuff with Jamal Walker, 4:30, all the way to 5. Kind enough to join us in studio.
He could be an NFL analyst if he wanted to be.
We need to talk more Chiefs. So if they win and go to the Super Bowl, we'll get him back if he's willing to join us.
Or if they win the Super Bowl.
That too.
That'd be a good discussion.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I'm not sure how I feel about the whole love for the discount double check Aaron Rodgers thing.
Yeah,
but I'll let that slide.
Comes with it.
You know, I took a shot at his defense, so he takes a shot at the Cubs and the Bears. It's fine. You know, I can't really argue against either of them.
It's all fair game. But really appreciate him coming in. If you missed it, definitely podcast that. Good stuff on the Illinois defense. We broke down the roster, being ranked, and then some good Chiefs insight from a Chiefs fan from Wichita, Kansas. So now we're going to play. Brad Underwood was on the Jeremy Warner Show this morning talking about, obviously, being ranked, the defensive improvements.
Jeremy pointed out something interesting that you'll hear at the beginning here. This is the first time an Underwood team has been ranked.
Ever. Even including Oklahoma State.
Yep, because they started out so poorly that year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They came back, but they were never ranked. And I don't think Underwood knew it based on the way he responded to Jeremy's question. So
oh, really? Good interview by Jeremy. You'll hear it here right now. This is Brad Underwood.
Brad, I looked it up this morning, but I want to confirm with you. Is this the first time you've had a ranked team as a head coach?
God, I don't even know. It shows how little I paid. I don't know if we were ever ranked at Oklahoma State or not.
Yeah, I looked it up. Didn't have it.
Well, I know when you're Stephen F. Austin, you're never ranked. So it doesn't matter how many games in a row you win, you're never going to get ranked there. You could be right.
Yeah, I know most coaches will downplay it, Brad. But it's better to be ranked than not, right? It's got to be exciting for your guys.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You know, I think it's a source of pride for your players, I think the positive thing about that is they show your name on the ticker. When you're ranked in the top 25, they show your highlights, and you know it brings an added notoriety and attention to your program. It's getting Illinois back where it rightfully should be. And I'm excited about that. I don't pay much attention to it. I haven't brought it up with our team and won't, it can't become a distraction. It can't be a sense of accomplishment that's all we want to do. And that's not me.
Yeah, and Brad, I think that's the biggest takeaway for me over this last month is the maturity of your team to kind of handle that. Because it did feel like, you know, early on, maybe with some wins or going to Arizona, like the team had felt that with all the offseason talk that, you know, it was good already. But it's really hard to win at this level. How much maturity, togetherness have you seen? I know those are loaded words sometimes, but how much has your team matured over the last month or two?
Well, I keep saying it. We're so young, right? And you know, and it's not that's cliche. It's the truth. I mean, in terms of age, we're young, and physically, we're young. Yet, we have game experience. But every new experience, and winning is something that we didn't do last year. Yeah, we got a lot of game experience, but you know, Jeremy, we won 12 games. And we knew that was going to be a challenge, was taking that next step. And, you know, I use the analogy all the time, it's climbing the mountain. And yet, you know, the last part of the mountain's the steepest, and it's the hardest to get to, and we're still not there yet. But yet there's an unbelievable locker room. I mean, our guys' closeness and our connectivity is remarkable, and that goes back to last year. I mean, we could have splintered very easily last year with one of the toughest schedules in the country and losing early, and yet we continued to fight and get better, and that's very relevant now. And now, you know, we're starting to make plays and execute, and you know, the defensive changes have helped and worked, and so now it becomes a confidence thing. So, you know, it's all part of a process, and you don't rush that process. You have to go through it.
You talked a lot about that process, Brad, and I know a lot of these guys played together, but it did feel like these guys had to settle in again with Kofi there and settle into their roles. How has that happened over the last, or who's shown that the most? How has this team kind of come together on the court, even though it's been together off the court for a while?
Yeah, and I think it's role identification. You know, when you have a team sport, everybody's got a job to do. And you have to learn to do your job the best you can possibly do it. And it sounds very simple, but it's not. And, you know, now you add a piece like Kofi, who is, you know, who's kind of an alpha, who's a guy that can be a dominant guy. So things change a little bit, and they could be very subtle changes, which some of ours were. On the offensive end, yet on the defensive end, we made some drastic changes. So, you know, I think absolutely we're becoming more comfortable. I think if you look at, if you were to go throw in the Arizona game right now, you would laugh, you know, at how poorly we were playing. And that's what's fun about this team, is we continue to get better and improve, you know, every single day. And we're a different team now. You know, since the Missouri game, we put Trent back on the ball and got Io off the ball. And those were all things that we've had to figure out and adjust. And now our roles are becoming pretty settled. We've seen Allen grow. We've seen Kipper grow. And that's fun.
What went into the decision, Brad, to get Trent on the ball more, with the ball in his hands a little bit more, and Io off the ball? And how has that impacted those two?
Yeah, I mean, well, you look at how well Io's playing. It's been great. I think not that we were bad with Io. It was just more of Trent's thrust. It was the way people were playing us. Io's got elite speed, as does Trent. But Io's a great lane runner. And when he's got one or two dribbles in the open court, without, you know, where he's running without the ball for a majority of it, and then he gets it, he's electric. Trent's really, really good in early thrust and playing with the ball screen. Teams don't go under him, so it changed the perspective of the way teams guarded us initially. And then we've got Io in a really comfortable spot right now, and with some of our actions, and it's been really positive. Trent hasn't turned the ball over in five games. That's elite. You'd be hard pressed to find 5-point guards in the country right now who haven't turned the ball over in the last five games.
Alana coach Brad Underwood. Brad, I know you've done this before when you're at Oklahoma State, but you have this identity, this style of defense as a coach. I know you do offensively as well, but what's it like as a coach? I know you do what you got to do to win, but what's it like as a coach to have to change that completely in a year? What was that like for you?
You know, and again, I go back to my upbringing. When you're a junior college coach, Jeremy, mm-hmm. your team changes every year. And if you can't change, how you do things to adjust to your team sometimes, then you're not going to be very successful. And or you better recruit specifically to a certain way. And there was a lot that went into some of our defensive changes, but I've always said this: I'm never going to let winning let myself get in the way of winning. And I mean that by being so stubborn that I refuse to change. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. We spent a ton of time with analytics this summer. I brought in a guy that was an analytical guy. We did all kinds of studies on Sweet 16 teams, Big Ten teams, analyzing from free throw shot and attempted to rebounding and so on and so forth. And I looked where we were at and all those things, and knew we had to make some changes. And what we were doing was, there were some positives for it, but at the end of the day, change needed to happen, and we had to do that. And Kofi was a piece of that. Right. There's no doubt. But yeah, so my junior college days really have helped form me in that way.
We've asked a lot about the changing of the defense, and we've heard now about the Boston Celtics guy that came in, right? Like, was it a eureka moment, Brad, or was it just kind of a series and a long process when he came in?
No, it was. I knew at the end of last year, you know, when you sit back and you analyze your season, and I was disappointed in our effort on the offensive glass, and I was disappointed in our free throws and our free throw attempts and our fouling. And one of the things, my teams have always been a team that have fouled a lot, but we've always balanced that by getting to the line ourselves and then by offensive rebounding and being really efficient on offense. And yet we've always been so good defensively. My offense probably has gotten way too much credit because when we've won, we've been great defensively, and we just had to make some changes. We had to get back to that. We had to instill a toughness, and along with those changes, and that's something that I just felt was very, very necessary. I don't want to say it was eureka. I knew there were some issues, and you know, we had a lot of problems last year guarding big wings and the Wheeze camps and the Lamar Stevens and those guys, and we had to figure out a way to help neutralize some of those guys in our league.
Brad Underwood, when Illinois hired you, Brad, I thought, great, maybe they can find their John Beilein or Bo Ryan or something like that. But those guys were known as kind of system guys, and you mentioned it, recruiting to your system or recruiting talent. And you've gone more towards the talent, obviously, with guys like Io, Kofi, Andre coming in. Is that just because talent at the end that gives you the higher ceiling, or why? And I don't know if you're ever going to pass up guys like that, right? But it probably does change what you do as a coach when you get talent at that level.
Well, we're very much system-oriented.
Yeah.
The thing that we've done is just make a small tweak. You know, I've got a certain type of guy that I'm looking for, and that we look for in the process. And I say that, and I mean this. We haven't had a guy. I've never coached a guy like Kofi.
Right.
But you make small tweaks every year. I mean, we tweaked when we had, you know, year one when we had LeBron. You know, we tweaked when we got to Oklahoma State and you have Juwan Evans at the point. My point guard at Stephen F. Austin was a great, great player, averaged 2 points a game, played 32 minutes a game. I get to Oklahoma State and I inherit Juwan Evans, who's the elite point guard in ball screens in the country. He averaged 19. So you make adjustments as you have to, but within our system and the character and the type of guys that we like to recruit. And that's why we've been very, very selective. That's why we've gone after the Andre Curbelos and you know, Io's and guys that fit. Io's speed plays into our 7 seconds and under offensively. We're still leading the Big Ten in that area. So it's something that, you got to have really good players, and players have to make plays. They always do on great teams, and I hope I'm smart enough to realize that. But we still have a pretty defined system.
Yeah, Brad, I know you guys have gone out recruiting a little bit this week, and you can really focus on 2021 now. What's that like for you guys to kind of, you know, I guess be caught up? Like, you're not chasing as much in the current class, and your staff can work ahead a little bit. But, and also, what is recent success for you guys, too? I know it's just temporary, at least at this point. You got to prove more, but what's that do for you guys in recruiting?
Well, it's a breath of fresh air to feel like you're not playing catch-up all the time. And I knew our first two or three seasons, your first recruiting class, your first year when you get here on the job, that's not a recruiting class. That's filling scholarships. Mm-hmm. Because in a lot of cases, you don't know, you don't have relationships with individuals. You're just trying to fill your team. And so I don't ever look at that any other way other than that. But the last two, yeah, you're trying to figure it out. You're not winning. You've got to continue to make improvements in your facilities. You've got to establish your identity and your culture and relationships. So it does take 3-4 years, you know, sometimes to get in a comfortable place. And, you know, last year with 8 new guys and 6 freshmen and majority of those guys back, it's been it's put us in a position this year to really stabilize, focus. You know, I mean, we were on Andre Curbelo since the day we got the job. You know, we were on Kofi since the day we got the job. So it's nice to see some of those long-term relationships paying off in recruiting.
Brad, the season he's putting together, are you trying to push McDonald's All-American Committee on Andre Curbelo? Because, boy, he's putting up the numbers and the success to do it.
Well, he's been in 3 tournaments, elite tournaments, national field tournaments, and he's been MVP in all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I leave that to the people who make those decisions. Do I think he's worthy? Absolutely. I think he's the elite guard in the country, and he went to Hawaii in the Illini Classic and was MVP. The beach ball, which is a huge event, over 5 days, and was the MVP of that, and then the Empire Games here this past weekend was MVP in that. He just does everything. He fills the stat sheet, and it's one of the things that is challenging about the McDonald's game. Sometimes when you start the season and you're not in that top 20 or whatever, sometimes it's hard to get there. But there's no doubt he's very worthy of that.
Brad, you ever been a part of a season with more parity, both at the Big Ten or your conference or the national level? And why are we seeing this kind of parity right now?
You know, it was interesting. I was on the road last night recruiting, there were some other coaches there, and we got talking about Big Ten coaches. And, you know, I've never seen there's 12 teams in the top 38 in KenPom. There's 12 teams in the top 41 of the net right now in our conference. I think a little bit of it has to do with the line moving. I think that's impacted. I think that you look around and we see so many kids leaving basketball and at the college level and maybe end up in the G League or wherever. I think that's impacted some of your blue bloods a little bit. But, I wouldn't be shocked to see an 8-9 seed in the tournament this year in the Final Four. It's that kind of year, I think, when you've got scoring down and you've got no parity. I asked a Fox announcer the other day who the 2 best teams he's seen were, and he rattled off Baylor and San Diego State. You start going and asking these guys who see a lot of games, and everybody gives you a different answer. And so it's just it's one of those years that makes basketball really exciting. It's going to make for a great, great last 6 weeks of the season and regular season. And that's why we got to go play them. We got 14 more league games, and they'll all be a grind.
All right, Brad, before I let you go, I really appreciate your time. What are you most encouraged about over the last month with your team, and what's the biggest thing you guys, or biggest area of growth that you need to hit?
Yeah, our growth has been in our execution late games. I've loved what we've done defensively, how we've grown there. We've got to keep doing what we do well, and that's right now we're guarding and rebounding, and we've got to keep doing that. We've got to continue to work. I think we have our ceiling hasn't been touched yet because we haven't been great offensively in terms of shooting the ball at a consistent level. But it's all about toughness. I love the rock fights. I love those, the mentality we're taking, and you've got to be that guy. You've got to be tough and together. And if we stay tough and together, you got a chance on the road. And that's what ultimately is going to separate people in this league.
Brad Underwood, congrats on the recent wins. I know they've been big for your program, and appreciate the time and insight as always, Brad.
Thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate you. Right. Have a great day.
Great stuff from Brad Underwood. Thanks again to the Jeremy Warner Show. Good interview by Jeremy Warner. We'll be back to talk some baseball in Drive Time. This is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Well, you've done very well in this job interview. I want to know what powers you through the day.
Well, I use a AAA battery as a backup on my alarm clock. Then I turn on my TV for the weather with my AA powered remote. I drove here in my car that has an MT58 Interstate battery. Oh, I forgot about my watch. It has a coin cell battery from Interstate Battery. I once had a fire in my house, and I knew about it because my smoke detector had a 9-volt Interstate battery. So I guess you could say that Interstate Battery powers me. If you need the hookup, go to them in Champaign on Madison.
Wow, you seem charged up for this job.
Hey Joe, you got that spreadsheet for me?
Yeah, 1 second, Larry. Let me pull it up. Where'd it go?
Hey, I'm gonna need that spreadsheet ASAP, Joe.
Yeah, sure, Larry. Just 1 second. It's gone. Everything's gone. My emails, my spreadsheets, my fantasy football league.
This is Joe. Don't be like Joe. Give Area-Wide Technologies in Champaign a call at 359-8041. They'll make sure your work setup is secure and running smoothly. Then you won't be in a situation like Joe.
There are good ideas, and there are better ideas. Renting a truck, asking your friends to help you move, and buying a bunch of pizzas to feed them after they're all worn out might be a good idea, but a better idea is to hire Two Men in a Truck and let them take the stress out of your move. Two Men in a Truck will only send professional movers and no day labor. There's better ways to spend time with your friends. Contact the movers who care and save your friendships. TwoMenChampagne.com. That's a smart move.
My old washer and dryer were on their last legs, and I really wanted a front loader set. So I went shopping. I thought that the big box lumber yard would have the best deals, so I started there. They had an Electrolux set I really liked, and I thought it was a fair price, but I wanted to compare it with one other store. Dick Van Dyke advertises the best deal, so I tried there. Boy, am I glad I did. They had the same washer and dryer, but their deal came with a buy one, get one free pedestal and a free 10-year protection plan. The other store would sell me a warranty, but for only 5 years. It was a no-brainer. I bought my beautiful new washer and dryer at Dick Van Dyke, saved $370, and got 10 years of protection. Wow!
I'm Dennis Reakin, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This could be your true story in Champaign-Urbana during January. I guarantee the best deal on your next appliance purchase. Wow!
When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
We're meeting Officer Nina Thigpen, who's at the University of Illinois.
Got lucky that they hired me, and I've been here for a year.
Awesome. Did you find the training pretty strenuous?
Oh, yes. It's definitely something that I had to get used to. Never really realized the dedication it took to go through that type of training, but it is definitely worth it. I would do it again just to make sure you get what you got, the skills. Go back over it, but it was a wonderful experience.
It's been challenging for law enforcement. In fact, that's why here at Stevie J Broadcasting, we salute a law enforcement official of the month, just to give perspective that you guys are wanting to come home to your family just like anybody else.
Yes.
And you're trying to look out for the good in the situation that has turned bad. Let's talk about that.
I want to help you. What ways can I help you?
Brought to you by SK Exteriors. Their website, callsktoday.com. Hey, it's Stevie J. Like many, I knew all about Game Day Spirits Illini gear, but I wasn't so knowledgeable about the corporate apparel they do. But they do really great work. I've had some shirts done, and some of my employees have too. They're very high quality and perfect for your business or organization. If you need something in the summer, need something in the winter, Game Day Spirit does custom screen printing and embroidery for every season or style. From blue collar to the boardroom, they have you covered with corporate apparel. Get a quote. Email sales@gamedayspirit.com. And you'll be pleased.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
If you want a great steak, why don't you go up to Gifford? There's a restaurant there that's been there a long time called the Long Branch Steakhouse. I want you to go in there and find Donnie. He'll be cooking and preparing all your food. And then may I suggest the beautiful prime rib. Now, Donnie cuts it right off the side of beef when you order it. This is awesome, awesome meat, and you're going to love a steak from the Long Branch Steakhouse. Go say hey to Donnie. Tell him I sent you, Stevie J, and get up there as soon as you can. You're going to love it. Long Branch Steakhouse, Gifford, Illinois.
Stevie J Broadcasting welcomes the St. Louis Cardinals Caravan to the iHotel and Conference Center this Friday at noon. Broadcaster Mike Claiborne will introduce players Tommy Edman, Daniel Ponce de Leon, Matthew Liberatore, and Nolan Gorman, as well as Cardinals alumni Kyle McClellan and Bernard Gilkey. This free program starts promptly at noon. Kids 15 and under will get an autographed ticket to get their items signed by the panel at the end of the caravan, which is presented by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We hope to see you this Friday at noon. Learn more at cardinals.com/caravan.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Drive Time brought to you by Honda BMW of Champaign. For a wide selection of new and used vehicles, check out Honda BMW Champaign at the corner of Neal and Burwash in Savoy and online at drivechampaign.com. Let's talk some baseball. Suspensions and firings all abound. Alex Cora next up on the Red Sox. This was just a matter of time. Reportedly facing a two-year suspension. Him and the Red Sox are not waiting around. They have... I guess he's fired, mutually agreed to part ways. He was going to get fired.
I mean,
anyway.
That basically just means he didn't fight it when they said get out.
Yeah.
Which I get. And again, I joked earlier they were trying to save face by doing it. Everybody knows. I mean, I guess it's good of him to get out in front of a two-year suspension from the team by firing him first, whereas the Astros did it the other way around. But it was kind of the assumed thing that he was going to go down because, ironically enough, really, I mean, the two Astros guys were culpable. But when they were all talking about it, everybody was pointing the fingers at
pointing
Alex
back
Cora,
to him, who's the bench coach in Houston.
Right. So really, he seemed like the fall guy all along, if you want to call him that. So he was going to face, reportedly, from Jeff Passan, double the suspension that Hinch and Luna were going to face and get a two-year suspension. So Red Sox get out in front of it and fire him. I mean, there's two interesting aspects of this long-term in that, A, when the suspensions are up, you got Hinch and Cora, who are arguably like the two best managers in the game the last few years based on how many times they've matched up in the World Series appearances, other than maybe like a Dave Roberts or a Joe Maddon or somebody like that. They're both on the market, assuming maybe the suspensions are up after next year and a team fires a guy after this year. And then, of course, what do the Red Sox do? Excuse me. What do the Red Sox do? Because it's not like they have a ton of time to go find an A-plus hire.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess Boston was one of the most disappointing teams in the league last year. Obviously, they wanted to fire him, get a new
You're right.
They
I forgot
could,
they
could have.
Yeah. I forgot that they weren't very good last year.
Pulling up Alex Cora's baseball reference, he was a career 243 hitter, so I can understand maybe why he wanted to steal some signs. Get a little bit of an advantage.
I just don't get it with the Astros. They're so good already.
They are.
I just don't understand why. Like, the three teams implicated are the Dodgers, Red Sox, and Astros. And you can either, I guess you can take either. That makes sense because they're all cheating and that's why they're so good. Or why are the three of the best rosters in baseball cheating?
Here's the natural follow-up question. And I'm sure our listeners are going to know our answers. But do you feel bad for the Dodgers?
No. I mean, I actually do feel bad for you, Darvish, but that's my bias.
Right.
Because he came out and said, do I get my ring? I think retroactively taking away a championship is the dumbest punishment you can do. I think the NCAA is so silly to do that. You know,
they did it with North Carolina.
Right.
Illinois is not the title winners.
Right. Memphis. You know, like, if North Carolina takes away the title, I don't think anyone here is suddenly going to be throwing a championship party. Actually, maybe they would on campus here. But it's like, I don't suddenly feel like, oh, well, Illinois did win the national title that year. Like, no, I saw what happened, and I'm not going to forget that happened. I do find it interesting, and I guess we'll hit on it with Beltran, but none of the players in this are being punished at all. And then, I mean, I understand that they weren't maybe the ones that came up with it, but they were certainly complicit in doing it. And you're not going to suspend, like, the whole Astros starting lineup, I guess. But maybe even hit them with a fine or something. I mean, they're the ones who are carrying this out, and they don't seem to be, they seem to be getting off scot-free here.
Yeah, Jeff Passan made a great point about this in the Levitard show earlier this week, and had said, because in the report that came out by Rob Manfred and then the Astros owner was quoted,
yeah,
and essentially said that AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow were not the initiators, but they did, they oversaw this and didn't do anything about it. So essentially it's a player run, or with the bench coach at the time, Alex Cora, but the players, yep, are doing this and benefiting from it, and they clearly were all right with it and continued it on.
Right.
But there's no punishment there. And Passan essentially is saying that it's probably baseball's move of trying to sweep this out of the way, off of our slate as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Put the blame on the overseers. Because if you go into a investigation, full-on investigation with the players' union of who was cheating, how much, what are reasonable suspensions, it could last a couple of years.
You're right, you're right. It gets,
and you don't want that
here,
hanging, yep, over your head. But I agree with you. If Alex Bregman is...
Well, like, he was the one who, I guess, was covering up the view of the trash can banging with a towel.
Yeah.
So, like, if he's the one who's standing there shading your view of what's going on, why is he 0% culpable for what happened?
Exactly.
But I also understand that it gets a lot murkier, and they'd probably rather just clean house and move on. Obviously, they're probably not going to do it again after this. But I don't know. It just feels weird to have it be so harshly and so squarely put on one guy, and then another guy that was just as equally involved is getting nothing.
It's pretty ugly. And
yeah,
at least, maybe not literally or physically, but I think that a lot of people are going to put an asterisk, and I know,
oh,
that's,
yeah,
that's a dirty word in baseball, by the Astros World Series championship.
Well, people are talking about, I mean, this is carrying a little far, but like Pete Rose, for example. You know, what, he's the player and gets punished for that, even though he wasn't the only one complicit in doing it, and then vice versa. Now the GM and the coach are the ones getting fired, and the players are getting nothing.
Because this is actual in-game cheating, like at-bat-to-at-bat changing outcomes.
Yep, yep, with technology.
Right.
I mean, it's proof. There's proof of it.
There's proof. And that's not to take... That's a very talented Astros team. They won on the road. It's not like they, yep, were just unbeatable at home, and then they go on the road and they couldn't...
Right. But that's what I mean, is like, why do it then? I guess you just want to get any leg, yeah, up you can. It's the same, it's thing, like, with the Patriots.
Yeah, why film the Bengals sideline?
Right, and just because they want any advantage they can get, I guess.
You can. I posed this in the first hour. Is Alex Cora, Carlos Beltran's punishment enough managing the Mets?
I say yes, because I think managing the Mets is mediocre hell for a baseball manager, personally. Because you get all the money. Someone joked today that they'll probably... take the moral high ground, fire Beltran, and then re-sign Jose Reyes at 42 years old. Just because it seems that's like what the Mets do, right?
Yeah.
They add a bunch of B-plus players, they get close, and they don't convert.
Is David Wright their starting third baseman this year?
No. Okay. He retired, right?
Yeah,
he retired. Yeah. But it was after a season where he didn't play all year, and then he played one game or something. I don't know. His career really fizzled at the end because of injuries.
I liked him when he was healthy.
Yeah, he was fine. Yeah. I did not like Daniel Murphy, even though he turned out to be a Cub for a little while.
Correct.
There.
I agree with you.
But I'd rather forget that Cubs team, too. So I personally think they're going to let Beltran go. I just think there's too much out there right now, and there's too much push from the public to not do anything.
Yeah, and at this point, Beltran is unproven as a manager. You don't know what you're even losing, so why not?
Yep, I'm with you. And someone texted in, you might also put an asterisk on Boston's title in 2018 with Cora as the manager.
Why not?
Are they talking about them cheating in Boston with his system?
Yes.
Okay. So he carried it over there.
Yeah. Took it with him.
That's
took
nice,
a show,
Alex,
on the road.
Way to go. Did you hear the audio that came out today with him talking about Carlos Beltran?
I did not.
He was in a press conference. Someone found last year. Beltran was a player assistant or something, like a... basically a pseudo manager type bench coach for the Yankees last year, and someone asked him about Beltran, and Cora said he's the biggest addition to the Yankees system this year, and then winked, and then he said, and I'm not just talking about devices and stuff or something like that.
That's interesting.
Which is a little interesting.
Huh.
So maybe the Yankees are involved in this too. And there's so many.
Yeah, let's hammer them as well.
There's so many people on Cubs Twitter going, at least we won the World Series the right way. And I'm like, can we just let this blow over for a few weeks before we're 100% sure that no one else was involved in this too?
That rain delay was a little sketchy.
You're saying they conjured up rain? That would be so impressive that I wouldn't suspend anybody if they could conjure up rain.
That would be impressive. I think that if I'm remembering correctly, and this is a bad take, a bad Cardinals take, but the Cubs were hitting through the rain while the Indians were having to throw a wet baseball.
Ah.
And then after the Cubs were done, they said, okay, it's a rain delay.
Uh-huh.
And then the Cubs come back and pitch.
Okay, whatever you say there.
Sorry. I apologize for that freezing cold, awful, biased take because I'm wearing my Cardinals hat. Need to really get away from
Honestly, I'll let you get away with it. The Cubs suck right now. Come on. Do something.
We got to spend some time and talk about what they can do. Oh, yeah. Let's mention this. Baseball, Josh Donaldson to the Twins.
Yeah, that was big news yesterday. Isaac Trotter can enjoy another home run record being shattered.
Might as well buy the jersey.
They broke the home run record last year with guys like Sano, Kepler, Eddie Rosario, Mitch Garver. I'm forgetting some more boppers in that lineup. They got a lot of good hitters, and they just added one of the better home run hitters in that lineup.
I don't know. Jeremy's not thrilled.
Yeah, right. Because the White Sox, every time they're finally good, he jokes that the Twins, finally gear up and are good too. I don't know if I love 4 years, but I get that you have to do that. I don't know about how old is Donaldson. I think he's in his 30s.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know.
Mid 30s.
I don't know if I'd love like year four of Josh Donaldson in Minnesota. But
was it a 4 year?
It's a 4 year deal. $90 million.
34 years.
Yeah, I mean, by the time he's 38 or 39, Twins probably aren't going to love that. But who cares? Because he's going to give you 2 or 3 years. And honestly, is it weird to say that the AL Central might almost be fun? I know the Indians didn't do a lot, but they got great pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
The White Sox are up and coming. The Twins are going to be good. They got Byron Buxton and a lot of young guys like that. I mean, it could be a fun race in the AL Central, oddly enough.
We'll see what the Indians are going to do with Lindor.
Yeah, that's another big one. There's so many pieces out there that could either fall or nothing could happen. Your Chris Bryant's, your Mookie Betts, your Francisco Lindor's.
Let's talk. Is there a team, and I'm sure as a Cubs fan you have just kind of sided on, let's not trade Chris Bryant. But
I would definitively say that I have sided on don't trade anyone.
Is there a team that you look at and say, well, maybe we could get this back for Bryant, I'd be all right with it?
The two teams that I'd be okay talking to are the Dodgers and the Braves. And those are two teams that have been somewhat brought up. The thing with the Rockies is, unless you're getting Arenado back, I don't want some type of three-teamer where somehow Bryant goes to Colorado, Arenado to the Braves, and the Cubs get a bunch of prospects, because I don't think Colorado gives you the kind of haul you want. But the Braves have a really good farm system, and I know that after losing out on Donaldson, Bryant's price maybe goes up even more. We still don't know if it's 1 year of Bryant or two,
right,
which I think is a huge thing hindering this.
Should be soon.
It should be soon, and it should be too, because that would mean that they don't change it. I'd be shocked if they come out and say the Cubs did Chris Bryant a massive disservice by waiting 12 days to bring him up, because not only does that kind of just, it seems too ambiguous, but everybody does it. Eloy Jimenez just had it done to him last year. I mean, other Cubs players like Addison Russell, who cares, but had it done to him.
It'll happen to Dylan Carlson.
Yeah.
Not that he was going to start on the opening.
But and I understand Bryant wanting to ask for it. I get that. Because then he just gets paid a year earlier, and he hasn't gotten paid yet. But I think it will be 2 years. So once that comes down, I think you talk to the Braves. And the other team, I'm assuming the Dodgers would be interested, because I heard from Passan a little while ago that they were, although, you know, they got Justin Turner at third. I guess they just want to get ridiculous with their lineup, maybe put Bryant in left. And they've got a bunch of really good prospects. Verdugo's really good. I know they got a few pitching prospects. So those are probably the two teams that, if I hear he's traded and I don't hear one of those teams, like I know the Rangers have been linked. Why? What are the Rangers going to give you?
I don't know. I know they've been wanting a third baseman. They were talked about quite a bit for Rendon and also Donaldson. Didn't they sign somebody, though, at third?
Well, they traded for Kluber, for one thing.
Right.
And then they signed, I don't know if they did sign anybody. Either way.
Todd Frazier.
Okay. Wow.
As relevant as those other guys.
But they don't have a good farm system. One of their younger, kind of, not studly, but one of their younger good players was Mazzara, who goes to the White Sox. So I don't know. I just don't want to take any, and I'm not worried that this will happen, but I don't want any cents off the dollar for Bryant right now. Like, I want an A++ return, or I want Chris Bryant on my team for the long-term future.
It's coming from the heart. For all those Illini Cubs fans out there, you've dealt with Luke Ford. You should not have to deal with being slighted by the MLB or by this arbiter for service time. Chris Bryant, 2 years.
Arbitrations are weird. It's like a court hearing, and some guy who has nothing to do with sports decides how much they're worth. I don't know how he decides. Like, he goes like, Javi Baez is worth $18.1 million this year and slams the gavel. Yeah, like, where did that come from? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand the arbiter. That's an interesting job. 60 Minutes should do a piece on baseball arbiters because I don't really get it.
When they're not doing that, I'm assuming they're doing the toll hearings. Yeah. When you get a toll and you said, you can appeal by coming to court.
Yeah.
But I don't think you win that one.
No, you hardly ever win that one. Okay. Hans was trying to tell me the other day that he was trying to get a parking ticket overturned or something. And I said, well, what?
Were you parked there or were you not?
And he said, oh, yeah, I was. I just want to try and get overturned.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, well,
fair enough.
But if you were in the wrong, why are you trying to get it overturned? But who knows? Speaking of parking,
I'm an up-and-coming pilot. I can't afford this.
Right, yeah. I mean, what if you get a parking ticket on the runway? That's probably real expensive.
Got to be.
Air traffic control.
I'm going to wrap this up, and then we've got to talk a little bit more college basketball. This is Drive Time brought to you by Honda BMW Champaign. For a wide selection of new and used vehicles, check out Honda BMW Champaign at the corner of Neal and Burwash and Savoy and online at drivechampaign.com. Do you want to take a break, or do you want to go a couple minutes?
Let's take a quick break and then come back.
Okay. We're actually going to talk Akron basketball for a second, but then on a more serious note, Illinois' resume and who's helping them, who's not. This is The Drive.
Goodness gracious.
Why do so many go to Honda BMW of Champaign? Is it the selection of hundreds of new and pre-owned vehicles, the easy location off Neal at Burwash Savoy, or the fact that they're an award-winning dealership getting incredible reviews year after year from their customers? Yes, it's all of the above. Before you buy your next vehicle, give Honda BMW of Champaign a chance to earn your business. Honda BMW off Neal at Burwash Savoy, or go online, drivechampaign.com.
I keep tossing and turning with our company's marketing responsibility heavy on my mind.
Minuteman Press.
I've got to go get calendars with our logo, some custom stamps, and full-color letterhead.
Minuteman Press.
Our event is coming up and I need table tents, programs done up.
Minuteman Press.
Jeez, I'll never get to sleep.
Thanks for starting your day here at Stevie J Broadcasting.
Go to Minuteman Press, head to their website, cuprinting.com.
Trent Meacham and Brett Anderson of Cozad Asset Management.
At Cozad, we have an experienced and dedicated team to help our clients achieve their financial goals. Here's one of our CPA and portfolio managers, Brett Anderson.
Thanks, Trent. It's an honor to sit alongside clients to establish a financial plan and guide them through their wealth management, tax, and estate planning needs. We'd love to sit down with you. Thanks, and go Illini.
Securities offered through M Holdings Securities, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Cozad Asset Management, Inc. Cozad Asset Management is independently owned and operated.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Illinois basketball, they're not the only ones that are back.
Are you declaring that they're back?
The Drive is back.
Oh.
But so is John Gross.
Goodness gracious.
Akron, now that we're spending so much, isn't it great that we're spending a lot of time looking at KenPom every day, looking at bracketologist.net, looking at net rankings and quad one wins?
I do find that my time allotted on KenPom.com rises greatly when your team is actually good.
Getting your value. Akron is 37th in the net.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Akron. The Akron Zips. 37th in the net.
Wow.
If you get a win at Akron against John Gross, that's a quad one win.
And it would be even if they dropped like another 40 spots.
Yes. Yep.
Oh,
it's almost to the point where if they came to Champaign and played Illinois,
it would be a quad one win.
But they are, what are they, 12-3 overall?
I think so. And they, two of their losses were at
West Virginia and at Louisville.
Right.
They also have lost to Liberty, and Liberty's, I think, 15-1.
Yeah, Liberty beat Mississippi State last year in the 12-5.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But I will say this, John, 0-3 in quad one games.
Oh, that doesn't look very good.
As we mentioned, West Virginia, Louisville, Liberty. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Keep doing some work, John.
Who's their best player?
I could not tell you.
I couldn't tell you anything. I didn't even realize that that was accurate until a minute ago. My goodness.
They got a guy named Tyler Cheese.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Tyler Cheese?
He's the first guy. He's the go-to guy, according to KenPom, on their team. Tyler Cheese, senior, 6'5", swingman, small forward.
All right, I'm going to risk it and play something that just says JFG. I assume that that's something to do with gross, right?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, it's the same thing. I thought that was going to be something different. What was the other next question is the other thing, right?
Yes.
Both times were directed at Brett, weren't they?
I think they were in sequence, were they
not? Yeah, that's right.
It was goodness gracious, and then it may have been something in between, but it might have just
been. And then next question, because Brett asked what he would tell the fan base when they lost 8 in a row. You know, a clown question, bro, for sure.
That's the clown question.
You can call me Sal. Just texted in that we have a quad one show.
Ah, appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Sal.
Means a lot. Well,
that's crazy about Akron.
No, it really
Tyler
is.
Tyler Cheese. What if Illinois was good enough to be a 5 seed and you played them in a 12-5? Because you know that if
would love it.
Akron was on the 12 line and Illinois was on the 5 line, you know story the lines. Committee would make that happen, right?
Storylines would be great.
I mean, even in Andy Katz's one, if Illinois were to win, they'd play Butler, which isn't a storyline. But then if Illinois were to beat Butler and the rest of the seeds would follow, they'd play Stephen F. Austin.
I like it.
Surprise, surprise. Brad Underwood against his former team, right? Like, that stuff just happens. Whether or not they want to admit it's intentional, it happens.
Can we line up Illinois and Kansas again?
Ooh. Don't make me feel that way, Derek. I would love that.
All right, one team that is not helping you out. Look, Wisconsin, nobody's going to be bigger fans in Wisconsin than those here in the basketball building in Champaign, because obviously the more they win, the more that win looks good on Illinois' resume.
Their schedule is crazy, by the way.
Yeah.
They've got, I think, 5 games in like 11 days, 3 of which are at ranked Penn State, home versus ranked Maryland, and then at ranked Michigan State.
At ranked Michigan State on Friday. There's a Nebraska thrown in there where they have at Purdue, at Iowa, Michigan State back at home.
Ooh.
That's tough.
That's tough, but Micah Potter has been really good for them.
Yes.
He doesn't play the last 12 minutes of the game last night, which I thought was odd. Yeah, he didn't play the last 12 minutes.
No foul trouble or nothing?
He was healthy, just sitting on the bench. Dockage couldn't understand it.
Interesting.
Now, obviously, Brad Davison gets it done for him, but Potter's been a huge addition for them. It was an entertaining game last night, and ironically enough, we've probably got some entertaining ones tonight, maybe.
Who would have thunk it? You look on your... No one looks at a TV guide anymore, except when you guys are finding a lot of things to watch and that.
Right, right.
The Illinois at the Kohl Center, but Indiana at Rutgers, Penn State at Minnesota. I want to watch those games.
Yep. Oturu versus Stevens. And a good Penn State team that slipped a little bit versus a Minnesota team that's starting to come on a little bit. And then Indiana-Rutgers is honestly probably going to be a great game.
Yeah, you need Rutgers to keep winning for Illinois to make that continue to be a quad one win. They're sitting right there at the 30 line. And Indiana, they got the big win at home against Ohio State. Very big game for them.
Hot take, I think Rutgers kills them.
I think Rutgers wins for sure.
I don't know what the spread is, but I think Rutgers wins by 10.
Okay.
I just, something about it, I don't know. Like, I know the record's good, but something about Archie there is not working for me.
I agree with you. Quick note before we go, Missouri's not helping you. They're slipping. They might be a quad three loss soon. They lost last night at Mississippi State 72-45.
You know who they needed? Tyler Cheese.
Tyler Cheese would have got it done.
That is an awful loss.
No holes in his game.
Okay, I'm not saying anything else. You got to end it on that.
All right. Sounds good. Well, great show. Once again, really appreciate Jamal Walker coming in studio. If you missed that, podcast that in the 4 o'clock hour. You heard Brad Underwood, 505 on Jeremy Warner's show. Great stuff from him as well. And we talked baseball. Good show.
See you ended it with a sweet punt.
Yeah,
so,
thank you. I should have just stopped and we should have went to the commercials, but we're going to do that right now. This was The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.